When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So it is that time of year during the wee hours of the night that we talk about the sights and sounds of Halloween, the frightful hauntings, the ghost stories, the scary tales, and things that go bump in the night. And tonight is no different, as we'll be presenting another terrifying radio play from long ago, Suspense, Sorry Wrong Number. And tonight, just in time for the Halloween season, we'll talk about all the vintage radio dramas that provide the most amount of imagination, the thrilling horror shows of yesteryear. And joining us live from the Allstate Showcase Studios is Radio Hall of Famer and proprietor of SpeakingOfRadio.com, my friend Chuck Shaden. Welcome to the program, Chuck.
We're a little late, folks, so good night.
No, that was a pretty long introduction, but you know, you've got a long story to tell, Chuck.
Well, thank you very much. I'm real pleased to be here, David.
I am thrilled you're here as well. It's an honor for me. You know, and nobody knows about the golden days of radio other than, you know, as much as anyone does, as you do. And from the 30s through the 50s and beyond, you know, people could go to the movies, but there was no television at home, only radio to entertain millions of listeners for decades. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. That's all it was. But, see, radio provided something that nothing else provided, your imagination.
True.
See, and you had to provide it.
Right.
That was the key to it. You could have the radio could provide the sounds, the voices, the musical beds, whether they were done with an organ in the studio or a full orchestra or a simple piano. But you had to costume the actors, you had to decorate the sets, you had to decide whether that black sedan speeding in the distance was a Hupmobile or an Oldsmobile or right. A Chevrolet, and you had to make the actors, not really actors in your mind, the characters, be as, for the gentleman, as handsome, as virile as they could be, or as rotten, an ugly gangster you could find, or
true.
As far as the women were concerned, as soft and as lovely and as blonde, maybe, as you wanted her to
right.
be.
I didn't think about that, but that's true, too,
and,
yeah.
And all of that was it. And you were not restricted in many years later, as you listened to these radio shows, you weren't restricted by the age of the automobile, the age of the characters, the age of the costumes, as
timeless.
You would be.
Yeah.
See, if you watch an old movie, and I'm a big fan of old movies, and I always like to know what year that movie was released, because then I can say, all right, I'm going to watch it as though this was 1947 again.
So you can put it in perspective.
I can put it. And so it doesn't – I'm not laughing at the outfits the women are wearing or the men are wearing and all of that sort of thing. And I'm not offended by how much smoking was going on in those old movies.
Oh, and lots of drinking too.
That's
now, Chuck.
Oh, lots of drinking. That's right. So that's the key, is you adding your imagination. And again, with the movies or with television, what you see is
what you get.
Well, what you get.
Yeah.
And that's someone else's imagination. It's
right.
their choice, not yours.
It almost takes it away from you a little bit when you're thinking of, you know. Let me ask you this. Because you've listened even to some of the shows more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Do you vision that program to be the same every time you listen to it, or do you have a little bit of a different take on it every time you listen
to it? That's a very good question. I never really thought about that. So I guess I don't envision it differently from time to time, although as I become more familiar with a story that I've heard several times,
mm-hmm.
I might find something that I didn't visualize mm-hmm. the first time. For example, you talked about Sorry Wrong Number going to be played a little later on. Did it, what, seven times over the 20-year run of Suspense?
Very interesting. It was so popular that it was not only played seven times, but mm-hmm. re-recorded seven times, all with the same actress, which was Agnes Moorhead.
Oh, correct.
Who played Endora on Bewitched, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. more familiar to people.
Now, you talk about old-time radio, which is the name we've given to all of this mm-hmm. sort of thing. You talk about that as still being very vital for anybody who listens, no matter what the age group is concerned. I have found over the years that young listeners, people who have not been accustomed, people who didn't grow up listening to old-time radio or who didn't remember it, were first attracted to the mysteries and the dramas like that because
and the horror
the horror all, stuff. Yeah, yeah. But they don't know the comedians.
No,
and even the many comedians who were not topical. They had some topical material in there that is lost over the ages.
Sure.
Only someone who knew Fiorello LaGuardia would know that Fred Allen was referring to him, as everybody did, the little flower, because Fiorello is Italian for little flower.
Gotcha.
And so there are certain dated things in the comedy shows. Now, someone who starts listening regularly to the mystery and the horror programs, they will ultimately say, what else is there? I like this, and I want to hear more of
this,
but what else is there? Right.
I hear you. How did sound effects really play a role in the experience of listening to these radio shows, especially the ones that are the science fiction and the horror ones?
Well, it set the scene.
It
you
did.
Know, you have Arch Obler did a program called The Dark on his Lights Out series.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story, as you well know, because you are the number two old-time radio fan in the area. Bodies are being turned inside out.
Oh.
And you hear this body being turned inside out. First of all, a kind of a fog creeps into this dark room, which is just very dimly lighted. Fog creeps in.
But you hear the fog, right? You hear the fog.
Not a cellophane crackle, otherwise the thing would be on fire. See, that's the sound effect for fire. And then all of a sudden you start hearing this body. And now that the actors are doing, there's what? Look at his leg. He's turning inside out. You know, and you hear this. And the body turns. No, I can't even come near that.
No, but that it's true. It's creepy listening to
without that sound effect, what have you got?
Yeah.
Somebody says the body's being turned inside out. And what if you're doing this on television or in the movies? You're going to see a body being turned inside out. It's going to be laughable to some people, unrealistic to other people, or impossible for someone to do without special effects at any rate.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember hearing The Dark, and I don't remember if it was on Eddie Schwartz's show or Wally would play it, like right around Halloween. Wally Phillips here on WGN.
Wally often did.
Did he? Was it Wally? Yeah, okay, that's probably where I heard it from. I'm going to have to play that then next week. That's a great one. Thanks for reminding me of that one. But, you know, we mentioned Suspense being really one of the longest-running anthology series, and it wasn't always scary. It was always, you know, it was a drama as well. But there's two other series that are really impactful in the genre, and that's Inner Sanctum and Lights Out, both a little different.
Mm-hmm. Well, Inner Sanctum was kind of a macabre kind of humor with the whole sort of thing. The Inner Sanctum program had a host. In the beginning, he was called, this is Raymond, your host, welcoming you to the Inner Sanctum. Later, he was just your host when the actor who was Raymond Edward Johnson, an actor who was the host of the show. Then his job description changed or he moved to something else. And then the other host came in and another actor came in and did the job very well, but he wasn't called Raymond. He was just called the host. And he would, especially during the period of time when Inner Sanctum was sponsored by Lipton Tea, they had a spokesperson for Lipton Tea who was a woman, and her name was Mary. And she was a nice lady, and she talked about the benefits of Lipton Tea and Lipton soup and all of that sort of thing.
That kind of lightens the load. It kills the mood.
And it would be right in the middle of the show.
Oh.
He would do but he would come out of it. You know, there would be a murder or something at the end of the first act, at the curtain, if you will, of the first act. And the host would come in. He says, well, doesn't it look like something's bad going to happen to her companion as well? And then he says, but what's this from my companion? And Mary would come in and she'd start talking about that. And then Mary would do the commercial, and then, boom, Raymond would come back and he'd set the scene for the second act. And we loved it.
Yeah.
We loved it.
Yeah, it was a nice break, probably.
The Lights Out program was really good for this because Arch Obler would come on. He produced it. And directed it and wrote many of the stories.
Yeah.
And he would come on and say, the story you are about to hear is very horrible and you may not be able to stand it. And I urge you to turn your lights out. And if you don't think you can stand the program, I respectfully invite you to turn off your radio now.
And who'd want to do that at that point, you know?
Well, then he would tell a strange story, and they were all very good stories. Obler's particularly, and Inner Sanctum's were particularly good stories for the horror genre. Suspense, every story they had, no matter what it was a story that did keep you in suspense until the very end of the story.
Yeah.
And they could do Christmas stories that were suspenseful.
Yeah.
And like most radio shows, especially in the 40s and early 50s, they all did seasonal shows. They did Thanksgiving shows and Halloween shows and Christmas shows and New Year's broadcasts.
As did you as a result.
We have, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was it was par for the course. You would always get those kinds of shows, and they would always adapt the program to the holiday they were involved with.
Well, what's amazing is the show was on from 42 to 62, over 900 episodes.
Exactly.
That is absolutely overwhelming. And this year is the 70th anniversary of probably the most chilling of radio plays ever written, and it's Sorry, Wrong Number. Mm-hmm. Tell us what we're going to listen to here.
Well, there's a woman who is an invalid, and her husband had left her for the day, the evening. He's out someplace. And she's kind of paranoid a little bit. She hears noises outside, and she hears she calling to call her husband, and she overhears through crossed wires on the phone company, which they don't do now.
No, right.
Of course. And so she overhears a conversation that leads her to believe that somebody is about to be murdered. There's two people talking, and they're talking about what to do, and they talk about some of the environment around the area of where the scene of the murder is going to be. And she gets mad at the operator, and she gets mad at the operator when she tries to get her to respond to this that she heard. And the police, too, they don't want to do anything. They don't have any facts, and the operator doesn't know what she's talking about.
And she's overreacting a bit.
Well, she is, but she's getting nervous and more nervous about all of this sort of thing. So she doesn't know what to do until she finally puts two and two together that maybe she is the victim of this.
Yeah.
And that's the story, that's the tale that keeps us in suspense.
Perfect. Perfect segue. And we're spending time with Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden. And when we come back, a chilling episode of one of the best radio plays ever produced, Suspense, Sorry, Wrong Number, right here on 720 WGN.
This is the Man in Black. Here to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, we bring you, in response to requests from many thousands of listeners, Miss Agnes Moorehead in one of the most famous suspense plays this series has ever presented, Sorry, Wrong Number.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40098 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? George?
Yes, sir, this is George speaking.
Hello? Who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client.
Oh, good. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yes, George. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay, okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth. Don't worry, everything's okay.
Very well. You know the address.
Yes, I know, I know. Let's see now. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And be sure that all the lights downstairs are out.
There should be only one light visible from the street.
Okay, okay.
What's that? Oh, just a minute, George. Oh, our client tells me that at 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello, what number is this, please?
Okay, I understand. That's 11:15, the train, huh?
Yeah. Do you remember everything else, George?
Yeah, yeah. I'll make it quick, as little blood as possible, because our client does not wish to make her suffer long.
That's right. You'll use a knife?
Yes, a knife will be okay. Then afterwards, I'll remove the rings and the bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer, because our client wishes it to look like a simple robbery. Don't worry, everything's okay. I know.
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder. And, operator, you'll simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We've just got to.
What number are you calling?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? You mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now look. Look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number. And I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose. Why, you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 40098. I will try to get it for you.
Well, thank you.
I am sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you
in... Operator! Operator!
Your call, please.
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I am sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, and it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Well, please. This talk, I can't make it.
Chief operator.
Chief operator, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
Well, I'm not certain. It depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your telephone number, please.
Plaza 32098. But if you go on wasting all
why
this
time... Why do you want this call traced, please?
Why? Oh, no reason. I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight, and I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, yes, but meanwhile...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call... Just on your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well, all right. I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to do it.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Curse, but nonsense. Utter nonsense.
Your call, please?
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you. Ringing the police department.
Oh, can't you ring them direct?
Police station, precinct 43, Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder.
Huh?
I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid, and I guess in the end you're the only people who could do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes, ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on 2nd Avenue. And there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
Yes, I see. When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
What's your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
5353 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge, the Queensboro Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrolman on our street. And it's 2nd Avenue, isn't it?
And what was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 40098. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean Murray Hill 40098 is my husband's office.
Mm-hmm.
He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home.
Yeah.
I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Miss Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call. The parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you track it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, don't you worry.
I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from 2nd Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
Well, what makes you think the murder is going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. 2nd Avenue is a patrolman, the bridge.
Well, 2nd Avenue, you know, is a very long street, ma'am, and you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone. Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Queens, and the Bronx.
I know all that.
How do you know there isn't some little house on Staten Island, on some little 2nd Avenue you never heard about? How do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
Well, maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard.
No.
You know, telephones are funny things. Now, look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you got your husband the way you always do. You wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I suppose not, only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
Well, a lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We manage to prevent almost all of them, but a clue of this kind is so vague, it isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely you can...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony and that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no... No, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody?
Well,
I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid Eloise. She's a big 200-pounder.
Yeah.
She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He adores me. He waits on me hand and foot and has scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Then there's nothing for you to worry about. And now if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Lady, I said we'd take care of it. Now, I've got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. So, good night, ma'am, and thank you.
Oh, you idiot. So why did I hang up the phone like that? Now he'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he?
call, please?
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40098 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call
you. I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy.
If Albert would only come home. Oh, let it ring. Let it go on ringing.
It's a trick of some kind.
I won't answer it. I won't answer it. I won't. Even if it goes on ringing all night, I won't answer it. I won't answer it.
Now, now what's the matter? Why do they stop ringing all of a sudden? What time is it? Where's my clock? Where is it? 5 to 11. They've decided something. They're sure I'm home. They've heard my voice answering them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why no one has answered me. Oh. Oh. Oh, where is she? Where is she? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department.
Busy. I will call you.
Busy? But that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them for you later.
No, no. I've got to speak to them now. It may be too late. I've got to talk to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people beside the police department. A detective agency.
You will find agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use the book.
I will connect you with information. Perhaps she will be able to help you.
No, no. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you, what happens to me? I could die, and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it. Stop it. I can't stand anymore. Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop it.
Hello? Is this Plaza 32099?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 32099.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I am Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed Albert.
Oh, no.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. No. Oh, no. I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick. It's some trick. Some fiendish trick. I know it.
Your call, please.
Operator, try that Murray Hill 40098 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. Oh, Albert, how could you? How could you? Oh, but I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled to some consideration.
This is information. May I help you?
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No. No, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley, H-E-N-C-H-L.
One moment, please.
Please hurry. And please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 7-1-2-1-2.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 8-9-9-7-0.
You.
Hospital. Good evening.
Nurse's registry.
Who was it you wish to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I'm...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But these are war times, you know. Registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset, very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid, and tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. A woman's going to be killed when a train... In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. What is your name,
Miss
madam?
Miss Phillips. And when do you expect her in?
I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? Oh, it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock has stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That clicked just now in my own telephone. As though someone has lifted the receiver off the hook, off the extension telephone down.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about...
But I did! There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen. And they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet and they'll think. But if I don't call someone now, while they're still down there, there'll be no time.
Your call, please?
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
There's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I am sorry.
But you've got to hear me. Please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me, and you've got to get in touch with... There it is. He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming upstairs. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police department.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Okay. Please. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, please. I didn't do anything. Oh, no. God, no. Please, no. Please, no. Ah!
Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department? Well, I'm sorry. Must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.